Brother Maslin warned me that the young people would be leaving, so don't think it was something that I said. It's sure good to be with you, brothers and sisters. I bring you greetings from the Christians in York, Pennsylvania, who meet at the North York Gospel Chapel. The Lord has been very good to us, and we thank Him for His many blessings, and it's a pleasure to be with you again. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll read at verse 21. Let's start at verse 20. Verse 20 of Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? So seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pennies, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with thee, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. But when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother from their trespasses. Recently I've been studying the subject of forgiveness, and as we go into a new year, I think it's appropriate to take a few moments to consider the topic of forgiveness. I read a story one time of a young man who worked in a business where he had been misusing funds, he had been misusing his time. He was guilty of grave offenses in the business, and he was called in by the senior partner of the firm. At the very least, he expected a severe dressing down, and also expected to be fired, and he knew what he was guilty of. He was wrong before the law, and he could wind up in jail if charges were pressed. He walked into the senior partner's office, and he asked the man, he said, Are you guilty of what you're accused of? He said, Yes, I am. He says, I'm not going to press charges. I'm not going to send you to prison. He says, If I reinstate you in your job, can I have your assurance that this will never happen again? The man assured him, yes, that was the case. He said, okay, you have your job, and the slate is clean. And as the young man was walking out, the senior partner called him back. He said, I just want to tell you, you're the second man to be so pardoned in this firm. I was the first. What you did, I did, and I was pardoned. We have this story here in Matthew 18 of a man who was forgiven and then who failed to forgive another person. He owed perhaps the equivalent of millions of dollars, and when a few dollars were owed him, he acted in a very harsh way. Very basic question as we talk about, as we start off on the discussion of forgiveness. Why should I forgive? Why should I? A lot of people in this world don't forgive. They carry grudges to the end of their lives. Why should I forgive? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We are told to forgive one another, so that should end the discussion. Why should I forgive? I'm told by my Lord to forgive. It's a commandment. I should forgive. End of that question. Before we delve further into the subject, I'd like to just comment. There are two Greek words that are used in the New Testament to describe which are translated primarily as the word forgiveness. And one is the one that is used here in Ephesians 4, forgiving one another, and that is the Greek word charizomai. And what it means is to bestow favor unconditionally. It's used in a number of different passages, and it's used for both the Lord's forgiving us and ours are forgiving others. It's used in Romans 8:32 and translated as freely give. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, unconditionally bestow his favor upon us? Same word that's translated here as to forgive in Ephesians 4:32, charizomai. 1 Corinthians 2:12, it's translated freely given. We have received the Spirit which is of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Unconditionally bestowing favor. Word charizomai, to forgive. In Luke 7:41, maybe we'll take just a moment to look at that. Luke 7. Luke 7:41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them would love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. In verse 42, where it says, he frankly forgave them both, that's the word charizome. He unconditionally bestowed favor upon them both. And this is a word that is used in many places, charizomai. In Matthew 18:35, the word that was used, forgive, shouldn't you have forgiven your fellow servant? That's a different Greek word. And it's made up of two Greek words, one apo, which means from, and the other haime, which means to send. And the combined word, aphiemi, means to send from, or to send away. It's used in Matthew 13:36, Jesus sent the multitude away. Same word is translated forgive in the 18th of Matthew. Mark 1:19, Simon and Andrew forsook their nets and followed him. Same word, aphiemi, to send away, to forgive. Mark 15:37, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. That's the same Greek word that's translated in Matthew 18 to forgive. So the first word, charizome, means to unconditionally bestow favor. The second word means to send away. This is used in Mark, the word aphiemi is used in Mark 2:10, and it's used for divine forgiveness here. It says, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive, to send away sins. And thank the Lord that that is true. As far as the east is removed from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Thank the Lord that through Jesus Christ, our sins have been sent away. And we are told to do the same thing. In Matthew 18:3, we are told that we should forgive our brothers their trespasses. And I think that word, as we think about it, to send away, it's a conscious putting out of my mind. So when something comes to my mind that someone else has done something to me which I feel is not right, and I want to harbor it, we are told here to send away that thought, to forgive that thought, to get rid of it. It's a conscious, volitional choice as to what I do. So there's the two words, charizomai, which is unconditionally bestow favor, and the other is aphiemi, which is to send away. Are there any hazards in not forgiving? If I don't forgive another person, you know, sometimes it feels so sweet to our human nature to sit there and mull over the things that we harbor in our hearts that we know we shouldn't, and yet our humanness, like, is there any hazard if I do that? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. This is the context. You remember the story in the first book of Corinthians, Paul had written and had told the Corinthians that they should deal very severely with sin that was a man who was living in open sin and actually proud of it. And he told them to handle it very severely, and they did, thank the Lord. And now this is a follow-up. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 2:6. Sufficient to a man, to such a man, is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrary-wise, you ought to rather forgive him, and this is the word, unconditionally bestow favor, on him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Yes, the first hazard of my being unforgiving is that I can place a huge burden on another person and can discourage them and overcome them. And this word, to unconditionally bestow favor, I think is an important one for us to remember in this context. Because, you know, we all have different besetting sins. And yes, another person might do something that, oh, we would never think of doing that. So we sort of turn away. And maybe even repentance. Do we still sort of hold a little bit aloof? Well, we shouldn't. Maybe I harbor pride in my heart. Well, that's not such a bad sin. I'd never do what they do, but pride, well, that's not quite such a sin. Unconditionally bestow favor. God has forgiven me, and I must forgive another. Unconditionally. So if I do not forgive another person, one of the hazards is that that person can be overcome with much sorrow and can give up. Secondly, what is another hazard of being unforgiving? Look at 2 Corinthians, the same chapter, and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 2:10, and this is the word to send away, aphiemi. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sake also I forgave I it in the person of Christ. And he says why? He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. So the second hazard, if I do not forgive, is that I'm placing myself at a disadvantage against Satan. We don't need to remind ourselves, do we, the difference in power between me and Satan. Without the Lord's help, we know who's going to win. And then to further place myself at a disadvantage and give him the advantage, a strong opponent, that indeed is a great hazard. I'd like to illustrate this point. I'd like to challenge someone in this audience to a duel. And not being a very smart man, I'll choose a young man like Doug here. Doug, could I have you come on up if you would, please? And we're going to have a duel here. And I'm going to... Doug?
Okay, I've got my weapon that I'm going to fight Doug with. Good thing about here, a good fight stone in there. And, well, if you want to do that, go ahead. Okay, now I'm getting ready for the duel. I'm getting my snake out here. And who's got the advantage? I wouldn't get very far, would I? Because I gave him the advantage. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate your help. It's kind of stupid to get into a situation with an opponent and give the opponent all the advantage. This is what the Bible is telling us.
If I'm unforgiving of others, I'm giving my opponent an advantage. And that's kind of scary stuff, isn't it? That's a very good reason to be forgiving of others. In Matthew 18:34, we read a third hazard. God will not forgive us. Now, let me hasten to say, I'm not talking about salvation. Christ has died for our sins, and our sins are paid for. Never will we go to hell because we don't forgive another person. And I will illustrate this in a moment further. But he says, if we do not athemi, send away what we should forgive others, God is going to hold us responsible. Illustration. Little fella, he's at home. Parents are going to run out to the store for a few minutes. They say, you okay for a little while? We'll be home probably in, won't be too long. And they take off. And while they're gone, here's a perfect opportunity. Beautiful heirloom vase that sits up on the shelf there. He's always admired and wanted to hold, and he knows it's a very priceless thing. Goes back a long ways in the family. He's never been allowed to touch it. Sees him pull out of the driveway, and he goes over, carefully picks it up, and looks at it, admires it. Oh, boy. What a beautiful item. All of a sudden, he hears the car in the driveway. He goes, puts it up, and he pushes it, and the thing overbalances, crash on the ground, just as his parents walk in. Why did you do that? We told you not to do that. Well, we know you didn't mean to, so be it. Just try and be more careful in future. Half an hour later, the same little boy is overheard by his parents when his sister just rearranges a little something on his dresser, and he screams at her and says, leave that alone, that's my thing, don't you dare touch it, and he slaps her across the face. Do you think those parents might say, now listen, we forgave you a very big item, and now you're going to slap your sister? Okay, just for that, we are going to punish you for this. Now, he's still a son. That doesn't affect his being a son. He's not going to be turfed out in the cold. But he's going to be responsible for what he did. Perhaps this is what this verse is referring to. That God, if we don't forgive others, you know there's times in our lives where we have done wrong and we know it. And then we, Lord, please forgive me. I have nothing to say other than I'm sorry. The Lord forgives us. We feel that, you know, the Lord, all sorts of judgment should come down upon us, and the Lord in his graciousness doesn't do that. If we are then unforgiving to others, perhaps the Lord is going to let us feel a little bit of the result of our own actions. A third hazard of not being forgiving of others. What are the rewards of forgiving? In Matthew 6:14, we read, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Mark 11:25, "Forgive that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses." Luke 6:37, "Forgive and ye shall be forgiven." Isn't it a good feeling to know that we're at short accounts with God, that the slate is clean, I'm not holding anything between Him and me. I've forgiven my brothers and my sisters. A second reason is that we will be like our Father. Psalm 103:2-3, and I'll just read it to you, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." That's what our Father is like. He forgives all our iniquities. He's a forgiving, loving God. And when I forgive others, I am being like my Father in heaven. Can there be any higher reason to forgive others than to be like my Father? I had an interesting experience one time, a number of years ago. Our daughter Gracie was about, 3 years old. We were sitting in Granny and Grampy's kitchen, sitting around talking after breakfast. And I was sitting there like this, talking, and I happened to glance over to her, and she was doing... she was being like her daddy. You know, that made me feel good, that she was copying me. We can be like our Father, who is a forgiving, loving God. What higher reason? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When should I forgive another Christian or a non-Christian? When should I forgive such a person? Well, in Ephesians 4:32, we read that we should forgive as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Turn to 2 Chronicles, if you would, please. How has God forgiven us? 2 Chronicles 7. Chapter 7:14. We're told to forgive as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So this tells us that if the way God forgives is if there is repentance, God forgives us. If someone comes to me and ask for forgiveness, I must forgive him. I must forgive him. When there is repentance, I must forgive another person. It's a direct command. Luke 17:3, "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Aphiemi. Send it away, his sins. Forgive him. Send away what he has done to you. Put out of your mind." When should I forgive? I should forgive when there is repentance. When should I forgive? Secondly, in Matthew 18:25, we read that this first servant came and he owed millions of dollars and he had nothing to pay. Nothing. It wasn't that he had, $10,000 and see if he could pull in a little more. Or he had $3. He had nothing to pay for these millions of dollars of debt. So the Lord forgives us when we have nothing to pay. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's no way we can work our way to heaven and get back on God's good side because we are doing the right thing and we can earn our way to heaven. We have nothing to pay toward our salvation. That payment of the debt of our sins is paid by Jesus Christ. There's no way that we could restore this. When should I forgive? Well, forgive as God for Christ's sake has forgiven me. I should forgive when repayment cannot be made. When someone does us dirty and then they make restitution, well, yes, it takes grace to forgive. But it takes more grace when someone does something dirty to us and there's no way this can be righted. Years ago, there's a white trader in Africa. He lived among the Kaffir tribe. This white non-Christian trader one day saw an African coming by where he kept his horses. And the trader immediately flew into a rage and accused him of wanting to steal his horses. I wasn't planning to steal your horses. I'm from a distance away here. I was just cutting through a shortcut. I didn't even know you had horses here. The man wouldn't listen. And that trader said what was African justice at one time. When I grew up in Africa, in our tribe, the Luvale tribe, if a person was caught stealing and it was proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, they would take that person and they would cut off his hand. This trader caught this man, overpowered him by subtlety, tied him up, and cut off his right hand. Sometime later, this trader was walking far away from home, and darkness overtook him. And he came to a little Kaffir village where there was a hut there. And he walked in, and he was made at home. He was told that he could stay there the night, sleep the night. Gave him something to eat. When he awoke, a tall African was standing over him. And then to his horror, he saw when the African held up his right arm, there was no hand. And he recognized the face of the man that he had so severely injured. The man looked at him, he said, "You are in my home. You are in my power. Revenge is sweet, but I am a Christian and I forgive you." Forgiveness should be made when restitution, even when repayment, cannot be made. We could no way pay for the debt of our sins, but we are forgiven. Let me ask a third question. Must I forgive if the person who has done me wrong does not repent? Okay, I'm told if he repents, I must forgive him. I've told him so many words. We should forgive even when repayment cannot be made. Must I forgive if that person is still flaunting it and still doing me dirty? Must I forgive in a situation like that? Turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians 3 and verse 13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Okay, I'm told here that the way I must forgive is the way Christ forgave me. Do you remember how the Lord forgave? He was on the cross. People were taunting him. People were jeering him. People were putting him to death. At least that's what they thought. That they were killing him. People were mistreating him. And as he hung there on the cross with the nails still in his hands and still in his feet, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How am I to forgive? I'm to forgive the way Christ did. I take it from these verses that yes, I must forgive. I do have a duty to forgive, even if there isn't repentance. Because this is what Christ did, and I must forgive the way he forgives. During the Korean War, there's a Christian who was in charge of an orphanage, and the communist soldiers came through, overran the place, and they caught this Christian man, and the commander of the force planned to kill him. And then he found out that he was in charge of an orphanage that was taking care of Korean orphans. So he changed his mind, and instead he killed the Christian's 19-year-old son right in front of him in cold blood. The ravages of war changed, and the times of war changed. And eventually, troops went the other way, and they caught this Korean commander. He was a young man. And he was brought to court in the United Nations court. And he was sentenced to die for the crimes that he had committed. This Christian man found out about it. The one whose son the man had killed. And he went there and pleaded for the life of this man. His request was granted. He took this man home. He taught him the ways of Christ. He taught him from the scriptures. And that man trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and became a man who was used of God in telling others of Jesus Christ. Should I forgive before there is repentance? I think the Bible teaches me that yes, I must do this. For this will show the Spirit of Christ. How should I forgive? Matthew 18:35 said, we're told that we should forgive from the heart. My father was in an assembly years ago where there's quite a harsh woman who was really holding a grudge against another person, another sister. Several of the Christians went to meet with the lady who was being unforgiving and sat down and talked with her, and, you know, this is not right. You should really forgive her. This is the way a Christian should be. And she wasn't too excited about the whole thing, and finally says, well, okay, I'll forgive her, but the Lord will judge her. Do we sometimes forgive that way? I'll forgive, but the Lord will get them. We should unconditionally bestow favor from the heart. Lord, if there's any wrong, I leave that with you. I forgive them totally. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Forgive from the heart. How should we forgive? We should forgive repeatedly. Peter says, 7 times? Should I forgive someone 7 times? Same day they come along and they do something wrong to me? Should I go as often as 7 times? 70 times 7. We should forgive repeatedly. Thirdly, how should we forgive? We should forgive putting out of our memory. Isaiah 43:25, the Lord says, I will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. Moravian missionaries years ago went to the Alaska region, and they were translating the scriptures into the Eskimo language, and they had no word for forgiveness. And they didn't know what to do about it. And finally they made up a word. It was actually a phrase. And this is the word they came up with.
That we don't have to use that word when we talk about forgiveness. And translated literally, this is what this word means in Eskimo. Not being able to think about it anymore.
What a nice way to forgive.
Not being able to think about it anymore. Their sins,
thank you.
Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Not being able to think about it anymore. To send away their sins. You know, I've had Christians say to me, yes, the Lord can remember no more, but I can't. I'm human. We're told to forgive the way the Lord has forgiven us. The Lord wouldn't have told us if it's impossible. And when I find thoughts, which they do, come back to my mind, oh, just think of what they did to you. Think of what they said to you. Think of how they wronged you. Send that thought away. Put it out of my mind. Send it away. Get rid of it. Consciously. Comes back. Send it away again. Afie me. Send away. We should forgive from the heart. We should forgive repeatedly. We should forgive by putting out of our mind. And fourthly, we should forgive all inclusively. Colossians 2 and verse 13. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. Isn't that great? I'm so thankful when I get to heaven, the Lord isn't going to say, well, I'm sorry to tell you, there's one sin that wasn't taken care of, and you know very well that nothing evil is ever going to enter into heaven, so I'm very sorry, but that's the way it is. All trespasses. You know, this is very different from the human standpoint. This is very different from the world around us. And the human in me rebels at this. Forgive everything. What if they would do this? The Lord says, forgive all. As Christ has forgiven us, we should forgive others. What a happy way to live. Yes? Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. What a great way to live. Forgiven by Almighty God and forgiving others. And could I just make a comment to anyone who might not know the Lord Jesus as Savior? If you're here this morning and do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, notice what that one text said, Ephesians 4:32. It says, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, it isn't that God woke up one day and said, if I may say it reverently, well, let's see, I'm feeling good today, I'll forgive everyone their sins. No, it's for a reason, and only one reason. Only one reason. For Christ's sake. The Lord Jesus has died for our sins, and hence our sins have been forgiven. But you know what the Bible says? It makes it very clear that that forgiveness must be accepted. It has to be accepted. In fact, this came to the Supreme Court one time, years ago, where a man, I think his name was Harold Wilson. So I'm not certain of his name, but this happened back in the last century. Came to the Supreme Court, where a man was guilty and sentenced to die. And then a pardon was issued in his name. And they told him he could go free. And he said, I don't want to go free. I don't accept that pardon. He didn't know what to do with it. He took it to the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court. What do we do? He's been pardoned, so he's pardoned. But he won't accept it. What do we do? The judges deliberated on it. He chooses not to accept the pardon, he must die. And he did. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has died for our sins. But this gift of forgiveness, of eternal life, must be accepted. There has to be a conscious decision in one's mind. I accept what God has done for, what Jesus Christ has done for me. I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. From henceforth, I will not be in charge of my life. I turn myself over to the leadership, to the salvation and the leadership of Jesus Christ, and He will be my Savior and my Lord. And it's turning myself over to Him. There must be a conscious acceptance of the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. And should you be here this morning and have never accepted Christ as Savior, please do that. It would be such a shame for death to come, for the Lord Jesus to come. And there is no, and you have to go to hell to pay for your own sins, to bear the punishment of your own sins, when forgiveness could have been yours for Christ's sake. Accept Him today as your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in humility and in thankfulness for Your goodness. Father, we don't deserve one iota of Your loving kindness, of Your mercy, of Your grace. But You, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Father, thank You for Your Son who went to the cross to bear our filthy sins upon Himself. Thank You that He died for us. Thank You that You have forgiven us, each one who has placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be forgiving of others. Father, You know us better than we know ourselves. So often we hold back. We want to keep just a little bit of a grudge. Father, help us to be forgiving as You have forgiven us, as Christ has forgiven us. Father, thank You for that joy that we have in Him of a bright and eternal future of happiness and security in Him. Father, we look forward to His soon return. Help us to honor Him, to serve Him until that day that we hear the shout and join Him and go back to glory with Him. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus. May He be honored and glorified through our lives. We pray in His name. Amen.